Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here. What's up, guys? Welcome to Indian American. I am Akash.
I'm Arjun.
And today we have a special guest with us, somebody I've worked with. I'm really excited to have this dude on. This is a writer, director, editor, actor, Bollywood and Hollywood. He's a do-gooder. Give it up for Omi Vaidya, guys.
Hey, how's it going? Nice to see you guys.
Thank you for being here, man.
Omi, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks a lot.
this is a podcast exploring all things to do with the Indian American experience, and Bollywood is such a big part of Indian culture, and we're really excited to get to talk with you. But I want to know first, like, what's going on for you right now? What's happening with you these days?
Right now I'm doing a lot of auditioning. I'm working on a few projects, developing them.
Developing your own projects or other people's projects that you're working on with them?
Both, yeah. Some projects on my own and some with other people. I've been doing a lot of touring as a host and live events. So
we also just filmed a show, Brown Nation. I'm going to be on Star Plus.
Oh, great.
Nice plug there. Nice plug. Yeah. We did a show together, Akash and me. It was like an Indian office type of show.
Something like that.
Really kind of funny. And very much the Indian American experience.
Now, a lot of our listeners may be surprised when they're listening to you and hear such, hear a very American sounding man. I don't know.
Who American? some American here.
You were born and raised here, is that correct?
I was born and raised here, and my Indian American experience is so very, very unique, especially with the added sort of fame in Bollywood, which we can get into.
I would love to hear a little bit. Where are you from?
I grew up in a small town of Yucca Valley, which is near Joshua Tree.
Right.
If anyone's seen the U2 album,
right,
the first one, there's like these trees on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I grew up, and there was no Indians there.
In those trees?
Yeah, no, in those trees, there were definitely none. But in that city of maybe like 20,000 people, there was no Indians. There was like one 7-Eleven guy, and my dad was like the radiologist at the new medical, the new hospital, which the place didn't have a hospital.
How did you guys end up there?
I mean, my dad immigrated. Emigrated is the right word, or is immigrated?
Emigrated from India,
Immigrated into this country.
Don't worry, we got you.
Yeah, in 76 or 7, basically his first movie in the theater was Jaws. That time.
Right.
And he was in New Jersey, and then he had to do some of his residency. Back then, I think doctors were allowed to come in a lot easier because they really needed doctors.
Well, yeah, my father came in the mid-70s. There was a big... The U.S. government opened specific visas that were really allowable for specifically professionals from outside of the country. And I know a lot of Indians at that time took advantage of that.
And I think the medical, like the tests that you had to take were a lot less than now. You have to take a lot if you're an Indian doctor and you come here now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a lot easier then. So he came in during that sort of wave. And he got this great position in this small town, and they just fell in love with sort of that area. Joshua Tree's like a national monument, so it's amazing to look out. You have amazing sunsets. It's pretty great.
But coming into Jersey, because my family grew up in Tampa, Florida, and my father also was in. He was in Albany first.
Pretty much any time you're the only Indian in a town, your dad's the doctor. Pretty much every time.
But it was always a funny. It's like you were in New York, you didn't know anything. My father, I'm talking about, my mother, they didn't know anything about this country. Really, they were there. They probably talked to people, but they didn't have a firsthand knowledge. And I was like, how the fuck did you end up in Florida? I mean, New York all the way out to Joshua Tree, was that just people that talked to him about it? Or do you know? I mean, you might not even know.
I think he just was looking for a good job.
Yeah, I think jobs.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, he just found a really good job where he was like the head of radiology or something. Like, you couldn't get that,
right,
you know, in LA or whatever. And I think they had to deal with a lot of racism. I don't think that he was able to continue. He did that job for like 10 years, and it was a very sort of racist sort of place back then.
Yeah, right. My father experienced a lot of that as well. Did he ever talk to you about that when you were growing up?
No, we didn't know any of it. We experienced our own sort of racism when we would go to certain like places locally, or like the Boys and Girls Club. Because my parents put me in private school.
Right.
And it was about an hour away, that private school.
Really?
Yeah.
And wait, is there a reason where the school's bad in Joshua Tree, or they
they just wanted the best school for me, right, you know? So they spent like $8,000 a year or something, which is crazy, insane, and put me in this school where there was a bunch of Indians, you know, and other people's doctors. This is in Palm Springs, about an hour away, which is like the rich part where all the golf, you know, stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so... So I went to that school, and I knew a lot of Indians, but it wasn't when I went home and I hung out, and like I would see how people reacted to us. Like, my dad was a lot, like when he went to the supermarket, I think people were like, "Oh, do you own the 7-Eleven?"
Whoa.
Yeah, and things like that. You know, just like, they weren't trying to be mean.
Right,
they were just, you were
just ignorance.
Yeah, there were just a lot of ignorance. And then somewhere around seventh grade, I was like, I don't want to go to this private school anymore. This is not what real life is. Mm. You know, I want to see what real people are like. So my parents decided I could go to public school. This is how bad it was. The middle school had like bomb threats. So they were like, "You're not going to the middle school near here.
Right.
We're not going to let you."
Of course not.
So you got to go. I was like, "Well, what if I try to get into high school? I'll just skip eighth."
I'm sorry, that's an amazing response. Okay, so there's bomb threats there. I'm just gonna skip that grade.
Get into the ninth. Yeah, because they had AP classes in high school. So I took the PSATs.
Right.
And I got like I got 1100.
Right.
Which is great, but you know, a side note, I took the PSATs in 11th grade and I got like 1070. But anyway, so I got to skip, and I went into high school, and I saw what like real high school was.
How much did you devalue your public education when your PSAT score went down 30 points? How much did that not work?
Well, that tells you what effort puts in, you know.
Okay.
That really tells effort is. But it was crazy, you know. People would call me like terrible things that don't even make sense, like beef jerky boy.
What?
That's so funny.
Cherry squishy.
What's cherry squishy?
I think it's 7-Eleven. Sort of like non-trademark
Quickie Mart specifically. Squishy.
Is it squishy?
Quickie Mart had squishies. That's what it was.
I mean, I had to actually ask them to explain the racism because it didn't make sense, you know? But that's sort of where I started to define myself, because I was sort of this weird, small, you know, I was like a year younger than everyone and shorter. So it was like, what is this, you know, Doogie Howser type child in high school? So that's when I started doing theater. I improv was a way. There was like a small improv group. It was a way for me to like be whatever I could, make fun of myself, be that Indian guy too. You know, if someone's being racist towards you and you go overly Indian stereotype, then they don't really have much to do. Like, you know,
it's almost a way of neutralizing them.
Yeah, it's really neutralizing. So then they start laughing, and then they're like, "Oh, this guy's fucking kind of cool."
But let me ask you a question: did you ever get concerned? I mean, you were young at this time.
I was young, so
I don't know if you ever like. But in that idea, because I mean, we think about that in comedy. I think about like, you know, there's a lot of racial dynamics and racial ideas that fall apart when it comes to comedy. Do you ever wonder or concern yourself that like the over the top neutralizing of that somehow makes it more allowable?
Perpetuated it.
Yeah.
I think first you have to laugh. I think then they take you seriously.
First you laugh, then you cry? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. I think this is actually Gandhi's thing, and it has nothing to do with comedy or anything. But he said first they laugh at you, then they take you seriously, and then they get angry, you know? Like, and that's what it was.
In fairness, Gandhi wasn't, like, making fun of himself getting laughed at. He was like, "They're laughing at me, starving myself." He wasn't, like, up there like, "Hey, you know what's crazy about Indians? Give us freedom."
So, what are you saying?
I mean, I'm just saying it's a different saying. The saying Gandhi had was like.
So you're saying Well, then how do you think it how do you think it relates to this neutralizing thing?
I don't think it does.
You
that's
don't
what
think
I'm saying.
Oh, well, I'm saying.
But if you listen, I would love to hear your I'm not arguing with you. I just want to hear how you
It's true. Your point is very valid. I just think that it was for such ignorant people, and maybe like I mean, like you watch television in the 90s, you watch television in the 80s, and you do see these stereotypes, and you watch television now, and things are sort of changing. But they only could change because of the 90s and 80s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, like, I think that it's a progression. And I think there's still room there to have fun with it, to play with it, and to turn it upside down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, one of my fun jokes that I came up with, I told it to Akash last time. I was like, so I had an arranged marriage. It was arranged by my wife. That's what I say. So everybody in the room thinks that, oh, this guy's an Indian. He has an arranged marriage. And then they're like, oh, this guy's just like fucking everyone else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like playing with the Indian. So back then it was like a very basic thing. But as I grew older, it became more sophisticated.
And more subversive almost.
Subversive. And of course, I wanted more. I mean, like, and also the audiences don't enjoy that anymore. They want something more themselves.
Yeah. I want to ask about your transition to Bollywood and how that all went down. Because you know, did you work in... Well, first, did you go to India a lot when you were young?
I did go to India a lot, but it was sort of like, I don't want to go to India, kind of.
It was like, you felt forced to go.
It was forced. It was forced as a child.
Well, of course, because you were a child.
I was a child, and it was the summer of India. We would always go in the summer, which is to Bombay and Goa.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal.
It's a terrible place. It's so... it's sweaty... It's hot, it's stinking, and...
India's tourism board should call you immediately.
This was like 90... This was before 93.
One had air conditioning.
This was before the capitalist boom, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This was real India, where you met your relatives, where everybody hung out. Now it's like fast-paced, everybody's on their own. You know, we took the buses, you know? Like, we barely took taxis. I mean... We were really, really living like regular people, you know? That was a different time. And I really got to experience it. But it was also, I mean, I was from America. It was like, this is terrible, you know? They have like four channels on TV.
Right.
What am I going to do here? But that sort of experience over a lot of time later on became such a valuable thing to me because I understood... of values and relationships and a lot about India as well. Because later on when I got Three Idiots, I was able to...
Really tap into that.
Yeah, tap into it and understand it a lot more. And probably because of my experiences in India, I was able to get the role in general.
Now, how did you get the role? I think I've heard the story before, but I think it's a great story.
So a little backstory. I always was not very Indian as because I never grew up, you know, I had a very Marathi sort of...
What does that mean? What does that mean when you say I wasn't very Indian?
That means like I didn't celebrate Independence Day or Holi or any of these things, but Marathi sort of holidays and Marathi functions. We had a Marathi Mandal, which is a group in LA. So we'd like drive for 2 hours and go see these like plays and things that were specifically Marathi. So I would say that I have a very strong Marathi identity, but that didn't go past my house ever very much. So when I would go to college and other places, I would just try to be as American as possible. There were Indian groups. I was like, I didn't watch any Bollywood movies. I think I'd watched like four Bollywood movies before I auditioned for Three Idiots. I would always sort of run away because I didn't really understand or appreciate anything that was so-called Indian.
Well, can I ask you, when you say that you, you know, we're trying to be as American as possible, can you kind of go into how that manifested?
Manifests like when you meet another Indian person in college, you're like, you know, like rather almost sort of like separating yourself from other Indians.
But did that manifest? Did you not eat the food as much? I mean, because I'm in this effort to define what it means to be Indian.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat that much food. I mean, I still don't eat that much Indian food. I appreciate like American food a lot more and all the greasy stuff and all the fun, you know, stuff that I love everything. Because Indian food for me is like something that's very regular that I get at home. that's like
you almost took it for granted.
I always take it for granted Indian stuff, and only after Three Idiots did it become like all of that stuff that I had sort of just been fed, you know, spoon fed, force fed, finally became of value.
But I'm still kind of curious about what, aside from not eating the food as much and kind of this resistance with other Indians.
Like, you know, like Indian Association where they do all the dancing and stuff.
No, totally understand. But I'm saying when you define like being, I tried to be as American as possible. I'm just trying to, I'm for myself trying to understand what that means exactly for you.
God, I just be very like not specifically Indian at all. Sort of remove my Indian identity and.
But how's that? Was that possible when everyone would look at you and be like, "You're brown, you're Indian"?
Yeah, they would do that, but not so much. I mean, the people that I hung out with were very international people, so it really didn't matter. Color, skin. We didn't really have backgrounds, you know? We were just all just hanging out. Even the sort of movies that I used to make back in college were not have any sort of Indian background, you know? They didn't have any sort of Indian identity. And I think that's because I just didn't want to be Indian at that time. I just wanted to be cool. I thought that being like everyone else, having less of this really, really steeped in culture, in expectations, all that stuff, removing all of that.
Do you ever think about why that was?
It's just because of my background. It was my background because I grew up in this sort of place that,
right,
you know, Indian wasn't like, what is that? You know, like even the, like all the girls would always they'd be like, what is this nerdy fellow?
It's alien to people in a small town where you're
absolutely,
the only Indian.
Absolutely.
You're literally like an alien. Like, you're just the only one of your kind. Just came down to where we live, and we're just going to deal with this forever.
What is this exotic? And then you become extremely exotic.
And then it's like also
like,
resentment.
The same
There's like a resentment you. Because you're smart, and you can get really good grades, you know, and they're all, like, not.
Right.
But then, like, you're like, not cool at all until, like, you know.
So, your reaction.
Until college, or you're 25, and you go home, and they're, you know, working somewhere.
So your reaction, and I had a similar reaction in college, was to try to distance yourself from all things Indian in an effort to fit in. Do you think that worked?
It helped. I mean, I think I just didn't have any value for like, Ras Garba, and, like, I was just like, this is not, you know. My parents pushed me into all that stuff when I was a kid, and I really didn't enjoy it. So I had moved away from my parents. Like, I went to a college that was farther away because I just wanted to have a very, very American experience.
Now, here's my question is, when in distancing yourself in an effort to fit in, because I did the same thing, and when I look back on it, I tried to fit in, but I still didn't fit in. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I still don't fit in, man. I still feel like I'm going to go to this event tonight, and everybody's going to think of me as this, like, Bollywood star. And I am not going to fit in that way, you know, because I'm not a Bollywood star. I'm just like this actor who like is funny and did this amazing movie. And I don't think of myself as, hello, you know, don't touch me, you know, like, you know, this Bollywood star, which is sort of what they're expecting, you know. And then I go home and I'm sort of this actor who is, you know, struggling as well. So it's a very weird place where...
Odd duality, yeah.
It's an odd duality.
Well, right. Let's talk about... We interrupted you so hardcore from your story about how you got into Three Idiots.
The backstory was that, like, I really was not interested in Bollywood films at all. And I went to India to... I had written a few scripts, and I was going there to pitch them. And there was a wedding, my cousin's wedding. So I was mainly going for the wedding. And on the side, I was meeting a few people for pitching my films. A lot of people in India, at least, they're like, who's in the film? You know, if you can get Salman Khan or somebody, then we'll make the film. Like, it really doesn't matter what the story is a lot of the time. I'm just sort of sad. So I was like sort of disheartened. And then one of my friends just randomly was writing in Ohio with the writer of Three Idiots, one of the writers. And she was like, hey, they're auditioning in LA. They're looking for someone different. I've sent your reel and they want to audition you. I was like, I'm not in LA, I'm in Bombay. She's like, just go to the office then. And I was like, I don't speak Hindi. And like, you know, I've seen Bollywood movies, like, what could I possibly add?
You didn't speak any Hindi at the time.
I didn't speak a speak word Marathi? Of Hindi, but Marathi is very similar.
Okay.
It's very
similar. Were you fluent in Marathi?
I'm like...
You're pretty
terribly fluent in Marathi.
Right, yeah. Yes. I'm exactly the same way with Hindi, right?
So there was like nothing for me to add, but my mom and this friend of mine, they were both like, it's a good experience. It'll be a really interesting... I was like, okay, yeah. I've heard a lot of experiences about India in auditions, like supposed to be kind of terrible, and who knows what happened. This will be like that experience. So I went in there for the experience, and they gave me some script, and I was like, it was like a page, and I was like, I don't know what to do here, guys. They're like, just spend like 4 hours, or spend as long as you want. Sit here. I was like, it's gonna take me 4 hours or so. So I sent there. They're like, have lunch with us. So they were very nice and everything. And then finally, I did the audition, and I said like 3 or 4 words in Hindi, and the casting director was like, oh, that was great. You really don't speak Hindi. And I was like, yeah, that's what I told you. She's like, all right, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming in.
Right.
So, like, I didn't do anything.
This was after waiting 4 hours and, like, sitting there.
And learning this sort of Chinese, you know, language, which was, it was like Chinese to me. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I went home and I was like, ah, whatever, that was fun. And I was about to leave, and, like, 2 days I was leaving, and they called me and they said, will you do this speech from Lage Ro Munnabai, which is his previous film, Rajkumar Hirani. This speech was like a very, I had never seen the film, but this speech was very like a justice, you know, like a really serious speech about, about like inadequacies in society. So I just was like, look, there's no way I'm going to do justice to this. Might as well just make this a farce. And they were also like, you know, don't worry about the Hindi. Just, we want to see what Omi can bring. So I was like, great. This is great. I can just have some fun with it. So I made it seem like I didn't know what I was saying, and I would say like there was this one part where I say the street is really the street is really small and the potholes are really big. But when I said street is really small, I put my hands out really big, and I said, but the potholes are really big, and I made them really small. So I was like, I don't even know what I'm saying. But and I also said it so confidently, because I really didn't think I had any chance of getting this. So I was just like fearless in there and having a good time butchering this language to another level. There's an audition reel on YouTube, and you can watch it. It's pretty hilarious. Just so,
of you doing this?
Of me doing this and this struggling. Is amazing. Struggling. So that video got to like everybody, and I guess all the people in the cast. And I mean, they wouldn't, once that happened, I think it took them about a month or two, but they wouldn't take no for an answer. They just wanted me. Raju really wanted me.
Were you saying no?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Saying you could, they wouldn't take no for an answer, but were you?
I was saying no, yeah, because they pay terribly there, you know?
Oh, okay.
And I was also, again, from here, Bollywood movies, you know, it's just something, it doesn't mean much. You know what I'm saying? From where my perspective.
Right.
I was on The Office. I was on Arrested Development. I was working my way up, and this was just in the middle of that. So I was going out for pilots. I was so this was like, and they were paying like $10,000 for, and they were like a contract for a year and a half or something.
Whoa!
Like
that. Right.
You know, just be available for the next year.
Right.
You know, I was, and my agent was like, "This isn't SAG. This is, you're crazy if you do this." So we just kept saying no and the renegotiations, but it wasn't really the money, because the money wasn't that great, but. But this, the role that I knew that he was writing, I hadn't even seen the script when I said yes.
Right.
But
wow.
He talked to me and he said, this is going to be a great role. It's going to be an amazing role. And you're perfect for the role. You are just perfect. So just that trust, I you know, you rarely get that in America, that sort of, you know, these people became my friends later. I mean, we have relationships with each other, and that's sort of what India is, the special part of India, because, you know, I gave him that trust and I worked my ass off. I mean, so much. I gained weight. I lost weight. I changed the way I look. And, you know, I gave it all just because I wanted to do one really good performance in a Bollywood movie. Mm-hmm. Thought it was going to be my first and last, you know?
Right.
I had no idea that it was going to spiral into all that.
Well, can I ask you that transition? I mean, you worked on Hollywood sets, The Office. big set of Arrested Development, obviously a wonderful show and a great experience, I'm sure. But then all of a sudden now you're on a Bollywood set. Can you speak a little bit about the transition into working in India and then some of those differences?
Well, the first shoot I did was unlike most Bollywood shoots. I was weary at first because Bollywood shoots are supposed to be...
The first shoot being Three Idiots.
Three Idiots, yeah. Horrendous. They're supposed to be horrendous. And
why?
Because there's lack of organization, lack of script, lack of, you know, sort of the standards that you have on a film set, 8 to 12 hours, things like that.
There's no union represented.
There is unions, but they're just sort of very small.
Right.
They're not very powerful. And there's multiple ones, so they don't even have that much strength.
Right.
So anyway, Three Idiots was like a professional Hollywood film in many, many ways. The way that they worked, it was fabulous. And they added those Indian things. And the Indian things that you don't really get here are people don't really sit in their trailers. They sit outside. Mm. They like drink tea with each other.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a lot of waiting around. And at night, like, I don't know, maybe they do these on film sets. I'm not on them. Maybe like independent films here. But like we're playing Scrabble. We're playing games.
Nope.
We're having fun.
Nope.
We are, I mean, there's a little bit of drinking going on. Not too much, but like there's a little bit of that. People go out. Like in Bangalore, we all went out. Not Amir, but everyone else. We went to like a club, you know, or something. They closed at 10, which is like terrible. But but we did go out. Like things were.
It was a family atmosphere.
There was much more of the relationship and family, and that's why I think the performances came out really well, too.
Yeah, and then has it been different when you... And you've gone on to do other...
Yeah, it's been a lot different. It's been a lot different. Like, less organization, not even, like, a call sheet in the morning, not really knowing what we're going to shoot tomorrow, lines being changed last minute. A lot of that. So it's very difficult and frustrating to work in that environment.
Let me ask you this.
Has that family environment still...
The family environment is totally there. Yeah, like they lean on that too much. You know, right. It's just like, hey, you know, we're friends. Just come in tomorrow. And you're like, well, you know, like, you know.
You want to give me some notice?
Yeah.
All right, here's what I would like to ask is, you do Three Idiots, massive movie, modern classic. Every Indian I know, whether they watch Bollywood or not, has seen it.
True.
You are very memorable. Like you said, perfect for the role. I can't think of anybody else playing it. How do things change after something like that?
Okay, well, the first 6 months are great because you can just sort of enjoy that experience.
Right.
And people love it. And then after about 6 months, everybody's like, what's next?
Right.
What is he going to do next? And then it's very difficult because... no matter what you do, unless you get really lucky or, you know, it's going to be very difficult to top such a film. I mean, you got Martin Scorsese of India with Will Smith and Tom Cruise put together,
right.
You know? So it's kind of like that. And I did some other good movie. I got good reviews, but still it was like, oh, he's not that guy in that movie, you know? So it was difficult. It was very difficult. I have done a few other films. I've done about 5 films. And I've worked very, very hard. But the quality of the script, you know, the quality of everything is a lot less. It's more of, you know, the average sort of Bollywood film. So it's not been like that. But it's funny, you know, you do like 4 not average films, but that first film, people just, they still love that film. And I'm like, is it that film? It also has to do with no other film has really been able to capture that. And
well, so, I mean, all films are collaboration. I mean, you can't, it's not just your performance, it's the relationships of all of you together, and it's all of it. It's the script,
everything,
it's
came
the
together
story, everything kind of
I know, but it's been 5 years and still like people watch that, like come up to me and I watched that last week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, crazy.
There hasn't been a bigger movie in Bollywood since Three Idiots.
No, not really.
There have been some big movies.
I mean, there's been bigger films financially, in the box office and stuff. But
like from an impact.
The impact and the replay value, especially every I don't know when, they keep playing the movie on, you know, all the time on TV. All
right.
So you're back and forth. But are you working more in Bollywood now? Or are you working more here?
Like, I was. For a time, I was working almost exclusively in Bollywood. But my wife lives here. My family is here. And my sensibilities are ultimately here. The reason that I became famous in India and hopefully my talents here is because I'm this Indian American. And even the character I played there was Indian American. No one could really play that character. Right. And I think that is really where I need to continue doing, being an Indian American and continuing that sort of story, you know?
Did you feel you were talking about this family environment you were talking about, did people ever make you feel like, not an outsider, but did you feel outside of Bollywood in some ways? Or what was your experience being an Indian American now in this very, very exclusive Indian club?
It is so exclusive. It is very small, the Bollywood industry. And it's a lot of, like, you know, I was shocked how many people are related to each other.
Oh, it's insane.
It's insane. All family. It is insane. So I was totally outsider, but I wasn't a threat because I was like this funny, zany, crazy guy. And nobody in Bollywood, everybody wants to be a hero. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately, right. They want to lead a film. And here comes a guy who's like, you know, just happy being like a weird, crazy guy. You know? Right. And I was like, I had no airs about being famous or wanting to. I was meeting everybody. I wouldn't know who they were. You know what I'm saying? And that was sort of shocking to them that there was someone that didn't know who they were. But at the same time, oh, here's a guy that, you know, doesn't know anything because he's not from here. That's kind of refreshing. It's kind of nice. And he can also get away with a lot because he doesn't know anything. So I did get away with a lot.
We have these conceptions. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Bollywood a little bit.
Right.
For our listener. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk. We have all these conceptions and these ideas about what I do too. I mean, like, and because it's so.
Let's talk about them. What sort of misconceptions?
I don't know if they're misconceptions. That's another point.
So what sort of conceptions?
We have crazy rumors about Bollywood. That's like.
True. Just the amount of.
Let's hear one.
All right. Just the amount of. Crazy sex partners that like everyone's having sex with everyone.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Like to the point where I've heard rumors.
Amitabh Bachchan and Aishwarya Rai, we've all heard that rumor.
All that. We've all heard that one.
I don't know about that one, man. I don't know. Okay, well, I'll tell you my Amitabh Bachchan story.
Of course. For sure. We're on Coffee with Cutten right now. If you guys aren't listening, this is Coffee with Cutten. Go ahead, get in there.
Abhishek Bachchan and me were doing a movie called Players.
Right.
It's a great title. It's
the Indian authorized version of the Italian Job.
Okay.
But it was not very. It was a hack job. It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Sadly, right. But we were doing these scenes in a very underwater pool, somewhere like an hour from the city.
Are there a lot of pools that aren't underwater?
That's true. It was a very deep underwater pool. Go. Like 30. Okay. So there's like this van scene and the van in Russia goes underneath the water. Like, and you know, we're doing all the underwater stuff in India. So we do these scenes and we're all like have pressurized and we're all messed up and we get out and it's Sunday and Abhishek's like, hey, you know, why don't you guys, me and the other guy, Sikandar Kher, who's Anupam Kher's son, he's also in the film.
Right.
And Sonam Kapoor's in the film, who's also someone's kid. Everybody's somebody's kid.
Right.
And Anil it's Kapoor. Me.
And then so, you.
Right. So anyway.
Who is somebody's kid?
I am somebody's. Sikandar Kher and Abhishek Bachchan, they're with me and we're like, let's go and have some tea. And, you know, let's just chill out. The U.S. Open's on, you know, the finals.
Right.
So we go back to Abhishek's place. And I forget that it's Sunday because Sunday, in front of Amitabh Bachchan's house, a large crowd gathers because a very special event happens every Sunday. So anyway, there's a giant crowd.
Wait, what is this special?
I'll tell you what this is. Oh, okay. I'm sort of teasing it.
Well,
let him do his thing, man.
We're in the Land Rover, and everybody's like knocking on the windows, and they're like, "Is Amitabh Bachchan in there?" And then they're like, "I'm Abhishek." Oh, it's Abhishek. Okay. It's just a joke. Abhishek's an awesome guy. He's really funny. Anyway, so the door opens. We go inside. And I'm like, what's this crowd doing here? Then these stairs. There's like four stairs that lead to nothing. You know, and one of the, you know, their guys, you know, their security guys takes these chairs and takes this stairs and puts it in front of the gate, right? Stairs, just four steps to nothing. And then we get out of the car, and Amitabh Bachchan walks by outside. He walks out of the house, and he just, like, waves to us. And then he walks onto these stairs that lead to nothing. And the the gates open like Willy Wonka's factory.
Right.
And everybody is like so cheering. Everybody's so excited. There's like bodyguards, like a line of bodyguards to like make sure nobody comes in. And there's like tourists that have come from who knows where in India and waited a couple hours just for this moment. Lasts about a minute. It's just an uproar. The doors close. He walks back down and he's like, "Hi, nice to meet you." And I was like, "Hi, nice to meet you." We go inside. We watch the U.S. Open. That was the first part of this story. Right. Second part of the story. So we're watching this U.S. Open right. with Amitabh Bachchan and Abhishek Bachchan. And
what's he like? Is he just chilling?
He's just chilling. He's seriously watching the game. So there's no point in interrupting. Sir, you're very, you know, I love you know, Chumma De is my favorite song. And you know, like I couldn't say any of that. But so we're watching. And then all of a sudden, Aishwarya Rai comes out. And I've met her, you know, on the set. So I know who she is. We're cool. And she's like, "Hey, you guys want to eat anything? You guys?" And Abhishek's like, "Yeah, let me get some tea. Let's get some tea and some bhajias and some." So I'm like, "Cool, this is cool." And then she comes out with tea and bhajias. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, this is like a typical Indian wife. Home family. Right. I'm like, what is going on here? Is anyone going to talk about how weird this shit is?
How weird it is that it's so normal?
Yeah, yeah. Am I supposed to be just enjoying and asking for some more chutney? You know? But it was really cool. It was totally chill. And because I'm not from that world, I don't watch the TV channels, I don't idolize these people. Like, they appreciated it, and they invited me into their home. Because I wasn't constantly like, "Hey, can we get a selfie? Hey, you know, I love you in the film." I mean, Aishwarya Rai asked me in New Zealand. She's like, "So you haven't seen any of my films?" She said that straight out. She did not, like, hi or anything. Because she'd known that, like, this guy doesn't know shit. So she's like, "You haven't watched any of my films?" And I was like, "No, I haven't." And that was a lie. That was a lie because I had watched one of her films.
Right, you had to play hard to get with a girl like that.
I had watched. I didn't want to tell her the truth. I had watched Pink Panther 2.
Oh,
that tells you how limited my Bollywood sort of experience was. So, you know, I had become famous for not being acting like a Bollywood actor, not watching Indian film, not having the speech. So, in a way, my fame continued. And the people liked me because I was sort of different. So I really didn't want to become entrenched in becoming a Bollywood actor and becoming a star. So coming back home every 2 months really grounded me. It really made me feel a lot better. And that's the difference, you know. Like, when you're there in Bollywood, it's very difficult to remove yourself from that.
Well, I want to ask one more question about Bollywood. What is describe the fame. Because Bollywood fame feels like a different level of fame than Hollywood fame. And again, that's a conception I have.
It isn't. But it is different in the way that I think Brad Pitt. And
real quick,
these...
were you married at the time of this, or were you in a serious relationship?
Luckily, I had just gotten married before.
We have very different meanings of definitions of lucky.
Luckily, no, because the thing is, I was accosted by
a lot of
male engineers. By the way, no, but I'm just joking.
Are you joking or are you not?
I was. Male engineers, like, they were...
Among others?
Not in, like, a sexual way or anything, but they were just, like... I mean, in India, personal space is very, very...
Right.
So, like, you know, I don't know if they're making a move or they're just being friendly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, yeah, but, like, there was a big response. There was some response from Indian women and stuff, but more from, like, the 30-year-old and the 40-year-old women. You know,
killing it,
not really the young, and then like the 7-year-old girls, you know, that are like, you urinated, you know, and farted,
yeah,
right,
you know. So like, no, so there was some, but there was definitely some, and because I was in a strong relationship, you know, like I'm a very weak man, so like if I didn't have anything, I would have totally gotten stuck, and I probably would have lived
with all of those male engineers.
I just would have. I've been stuck not only with the girls, but with the whole idea of becoming this thing that I'm not. You know, and that's where most of these people lose it. They live in a bubble. They see either their parents or everyone else getting it, and they really think that's their only option and that's the best option. And in some ways, it kind of is. You know, because it's just handed to them. Right. And then when they start losing it or they don't, you know, perform, they just don't know how to cope. And luckily, I am able to cope because I don't live in that environment.
We got a couple more questions for you. One of mine is about the accent.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about how, you know, you obviously had to put that accent on because you didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you? Did you feel...
You know, actually, it's really odd. And if you hear me, you'll laugh. But I actually have an accent when I talk to my parents. And it gets thicker when I talk to my grandparents. It's very, very odd. My brother does it too. And it's like some aunties and shit get angry at me. They're like, you don't have to talk like that. We understand what you're saying.
That happens to me sometimes. My mom says that. And you're like, when I'm talking to my grandmother.
Yeah, it happens.
When I went to India, I had an accent the whole time. I didn't even know I could do an accent. Can't do it again.
But it's just something that, so it wasn't something irregular, but definitely playing it up for like certain roles and stuff. I definitely had to do that. And it does feel uncomfortable at times. But at the same time, like, if I really play who I am, it's like a sarcastic, bitter, sort of wonderful, but lovable character. I can play that. But he's very subtle. He's very subtle. And if you're not watching correctly, you won't, you know, see that. But then you have, like, shows on the WB or at the time, what was it, Channel 13, you know,
right.
Like...
Right. UPN.
You know, UPN, right. And like, you know, they don't want that. They want something loud and funny. Even the black guys are being stereotypical. Everybody's being just a mockery of the real life. And in that, you have to compete if you want that work. I mean, you can be choosy if you want. But in the end, like, I think it doesn't really hurt my career. And I think that I enjoy and I am quite good at it. I'm quite good at it at times. Some people make a career out of it. But... It does get old. I mean, it does get old. It doesn't have much replay value.
But what about the accent? Not here, but when you were going for like Bollywood stuff, was that uncomfortable? Did it feel strange to have to like put on this accent, or was it actually kind of easier because you were surrounded by it?
It was so easy. It's so easy to put on the accent. And
when you do interviews, do you do an accent?
Oh, if they're with Indian people, I do an accent.
Yeah, I have a friend who wants to be, he's from America, wants to be a Bollywood actor, speaks with an accent the whole time he's in India.
It's not like I'm doing it like purposefully or to manipulate people, but like tonight, I'm going to go to the Indian thing and I'm going to be like, hello everyone, it's very nice to meet you. Happy Indian Independence Day. Because if I do that, there's just a sincerity, sadly, a more sincere wishing of happy Independence Day, whether I go, hey everyone, nice to meet you guys. Happy Independence Day. It just comes off a lot less connected to those people. I am catering to those people. So they want to feel loved. They want their identity to be represented. And in a way, I'm acting, so might as well just keep acting, you know?
Really? That's interesting.
It is interesting because I think if people really saw who I really was, they wouldn't be
so disappointed.
they wouldn't appreciate it as much. I mean, they have a certain expectation. You go up there,
right,
and you're having a shitty day, Akash, but you have to be funny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Because they're expecting funny.
Right.
And you're giving them what they want.
Right.
In the same way I am also giving them what they want. And I think that's very difficult to separate yourself personally and outside, you know, in state. But it's very easy for me because like it's very hard, you know, unless I get to know you really well, it's very hard for you. You're not going to see that sarcastic person.
Right.
You're not going to see that real person.
Right.
Another question we like to try to ask everyone that we have involved here is, how do you, and you've touched on this a little bit, but how do you identify yourself? Indian, American, both? What is your feelings on that?
Yeah. Like I used to want to make,
oh,
go ahead.
Oh, no, nothing else.
He's just pointing. I used to want to identify myself as American and really Marathi, but like I have been sort of pushed and serendipitously into an opportunity where I have had to sort of grasp and try to find and keep an Indian identity because it helps me maneuver this career of mine. And through that experience, I have really, really come to enjoy and find really valuable people within the Indian community and the Indian
in India or here?
In India and here.
Okay.
A lot in Indian American because in India they're so Indian, they don't relate to you and they judge you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a common experience.
So you can't really like even try to be anything else because they've already made a judgment. I don't go to audition in India. I rarely audition in India because they're like, we know what you have. We know what you can do. So we'll, you know, it's always a prejudgment. So here I know that I don't judge people. And I find that there's a lot of wonderful Indian Americans here in the Gujarati and the Punjabi community that are doing really, really amazing, amazing things. And
you forgot that Uttar Pradesh.
Uttar Pradesh, Marathi, South Indians. I'm just grouping all South Indians right now.
of course, as we should.
Oh, God. Anyway, they're doing some great things. The second generation people, like I'm in DC now. Is it first generation?
We're first generation.
Oh, I'm sorry, first generation. I'm in DC now. There are people, Indian people, first generation in the White House. There is a Sikh guy in the White House with a turban, and like he is doing amazing things. You know what I'm saying? You know, it is the narrative is changing. So like we don't have to worry about being Indian anymore.
So how do you identify yourself? Going back to the question.
No, I identify myself as an Indian American, I continue to be proud and find that Indian American is so much better. So much better than being either American or Indian. It's like the best of both worlds.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Now, I had a couple more questions. One a little bit more specific, and then one, I guess, a little bit more broad. Specifically, your first role in Bollywood is this legendary movie, and you give a great performance. How much of that is that like a weight to you to live up to that? Or do you feel like you said people kind of expect your character from that movie, do you feel kind of a burden because of that, or are you okay with it?
It's easy to feel a burden, like you can't ever top that, or how are you going to top that? But like, I don't know if I'll ever top that in India. I mean, if I just accept that and then move on, then it's a lot easier for me. And to find something else, comedy, doing it here, doing something different, coming up my own. I know that I'll top it in a different way, but trying to top it in the same way, I don't think that's going to happen. So I have let my pressure off of that a long time ago. And that's made my life a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you take what's valuable to you. And being famous in India, making a lot of rupees, living in India, these things are not really that important to me. Doing good work is really important to me. That's why I've sort of started to do more philanthropy and do more stage work. Because I can see the value that I add, you know? I can see it right in front of me. And that's really what I want to find my voice. I think for the last, like, 10 years or so, I've been sort of putting myself in other people's voices and sort of finding myself. But now I have the opportunity to really find myself, so I'm going to do that. But as I said, Indian American all the way, man. It is a wonderful time to be Indian American.
I love that. I love the pride that you have in that. Another question I had asked is a little bit broader. Objectively, and I guess also subjectively, which fame do you think is better? Bollywood fame, Hollywood fame. Take your own personal preference.
I'm going to say objectively. Bollywood is much better.
Right.
The amount of perks that a star gets in Bollywood.
Can you give us examples of some of those perks?
I don't even know what those perks are,
man. Nah, man, you know.
Land, jewelry, like,
they're just
given.
Wow.
They're just given instead of money at times. They're just get like, you know, these, a lot of the women, I don't get this, but women do like events for jewelers and then they just given jewels and then they go back to India and then like custom. There's all these like newspapers like, "Oh, this actress got stuck with 41 lakhs of diamonds."
Right.
Like, what is she doing with 41 lakhs of diamonds? Right.
But that happens in the U.S. That happens in Hollywood, too. I mean, maybe not 41 lakhs. I mean, that's a crazy amount.
Yeah, it's like, crazy.
You definitely get gifted shit a lot in Hollywood.
It's crazy, but...
But like, land?
Land is something else. That's other shit right there.
I just don't know because you cannot... Maybe Brad Pitt and these people, they can't go out. Wherever they go, they're going to get free shit. But, yeah, there's a lot of free stuff to get. And I don't know. There's an idolization, literally. Like,
would you get mobbed when you're walking out on the street? Like, when you go back now, is it like...
No, I don't get mobbed in India, but I get mobbed in Cerritos.
My cousin's in America and stuff. I put up a video of me and him. I'm, you know, just an Instagram video. People were losing... This is so incredible. To them, it was the most famous thing I'd ever done working with you.
It is, my friend. Anyway, for them it is. But it is crazy. There's an idolization that doesn't happen here. It's like, okay, Brad Pitt is great, but like only a few people are going to cry. And like, you know, there's like thousands of people that will riot on the street if Shah Rukh Khan is put in jail, even if he murdered someone.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? There, it's a different level. It is a, they are thought of as gods.
Well, and they're like boy band stars.
We didn't even address that. Thousands of people were uproar for a man walking up four stairs and just standing right. there. Oh, yeah. We didn't even address
that. We really went past that. I just want to know what he was eating in the house. I was ready to whatever.
Mean, there are stars in India that have, are under terror claims or they've run people over. And, you know, there's no justice for this. Maybe there is a little bit of justice, hopefully. But, like, if that happened here, you know.
Right.
So there's, a, you know, those sort of things you can get away with a lot more.
So if OJ was in Bollywood,
he would have been fine.
He'd have never got that second case.
He would have never gotten that first case, though. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking
that
about.
That first case.
Is it a CD? I mean, there's been news. I mean, when I was there last November, there was all this news of casting couches and all this kind of like, there was like an expose about, you know, reporters and stuff.
It is getting better, I think, because of all these exposés. You know, I never had to deal with it. I just jumped to the top, which I was lucky. But every time I meet another actress who's not famous and I have a scene with her and we get, like, you know, comfortable, I ask her, so, like, you know, ever had this problem? And always they've had at least one experience where, like the last one, actress, I won't say her name, and she didn't even tell me who the guy was, but she said he was a really big director, and then he was like, I want to see how sensual you are, you know, and then, like, start, you know, touched her stomach or whatever, and she yelled and shit, and then he, like, left, and then he was like, I'm sorry, but... There was no work out of that. I met another guy. A guy. Literally a guy.
I've heard this about guys there.
Yeah, a guy who he was, you know, like, just he was invited in to do an audition in someone's bedroom, you know? Mm.
But it wasn't like all these women that you would ask as a problem. They didn't feel like they had to in order to get work. They could get jobs otherwise. It wasn't a prerequisite.
I think that for some people they are they want, you know, there's a thing called compromise. That's the word for it. That's the actual code word where people will say, you know, you're a wonderful actress, but you're gonna have to make a lot of compromises. That's what they say. They actually use that word. And then the girls are like, okay, you know, we'll do what we have to do. And you know, I don't know what they do because this stuff doesn't get out, you know, and no one's going to admit, oh yeah, I slept with this guy and that's why I'm famous. But you can make assumptions that some of these people have, and, you know, think about like people that aren't famous because their parents are famous. Like, you know, like how do they get in? Yeah. You have to have talent, but you know, there's gotta be something going on, you know? Like, how many people did I sleep with to get Three Idiots? You know,
That's gonna be the takeaway from this interview. Another, and that is clearly another reason to be that you're proud that you're Indian American and not just Indian because you didn't have to put up with some of that stuff in Hollywood.
I know. Yeah, I'm lucky.
I haven't gotten enough opportunities to sleep with directors.
I haven't had that. You know, luckily. You know, like, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Right. And I've been able to just be that weird guy that is so interesting and weird that we just have to put him somewhere, you know, in the film. So
there you go. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming and joining and giving us some time today and giving us some insight. I hope you had a good time. We definitely did.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, the Indian American experience is very difficult growing up because of the American sort of influence in Western. But as you know, if you have a really good background and that will come into value so much more when you get older. And I think that is something that I really appreciate.
That's beautiful,
a really
man.
Strong message.
That's beautiful.
If people want to follow you, are you on Twitter? Are you on active on this? How can people get at you?
My Twitter address is omi1kenobi. At omi1 kenobi. And
is it the numeral one? Or?
No, it's omi1 one. Omi1 Kenobi is KENOBE instead of I. I know it's supposed to be I, but it's E. Whatever, though. Just look up Omi Vaidya and you'll find me. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you so much, brother. Take care.
Right. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.